It's time for Sports Fluent, and this week I have an incredible guest, Jeremy Nunez. Jeremy, how you doing, man?
Good, Anthony. How are you, man?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited because we're going to talk about sports, which we always do. We're going to talk about comedy, which I attempt to do. Not very well. But first, I want to kick things off because I have always told all my friends, I think I could be a politician. I think I could do better than they do. And I think people would vote for me. I talk about it. You actually did it. You went back to your hometown and became mayor. You gotta tell me the story. Taking, just so you know, I'm gonna take notes because I'm gonna copy this formula.
Well, so here's the thing. I didn't intentionally get elected mayor. The whole thing was a joke. Me and my buddy said it would be funny just to put my name on the ballot as comedian Jeremy Nunez. And I got one sign with my campaign slogan, which said, put a real joker in office. And then we joke, is like, who's even going to vote for that person? Well, we found out 80% of the town.
80%. Okay. So tell me, the town is where? Is what town? Can we talk? Can we say what town? Sure. Are you still the mayor? No.
Not at this point. No. So it's in Illinois, United States, Illinois. And then if you know the capital of Illinois, Springfield. Just outside of Springfield, they have all these little sort of small towns, sort of miniature suburbs. And one of those towns is called Dawson. So right in the middle of Illinois is where I...
Dawson, Illinois, and 80%, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Well, you would think. Now, also keep in mind, the town is small enough that only about 100 people are casting a vote. And of them, I'm related to about 60.
All right, so hey, you still got 20 that weren't blood, so that's actually pretty still. I'm still impressed. Like I said, I always say it. So how long do you serve as mayor?
They're 4-year terms, and made me think of something I wanted to bring up here.
Okay,
so as far as the family voting for you and stuff, so
because I couldn't get that, just so you know, my family would vote against me, which probably already puts me, I gotta go somewhere where no one knows me, I think.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But so I wrote this book about my time as mayor, and I've got, there's a person they call a content editor who reads through and makes sure everything makes sense. You didn't leave out a detail. And I'm talking about that when I'm sworn in, and she says, oh, you mentioned your wife is there and your mom is there and your sister is there. You don't mention your dad. Is he not around? Did he pass away? What's it? And I was like, oh, we got to clarify that. I was like, okay. The reason my dad wasn't there is he voted for my opponent.
See, that would be something that I would have to deal with. So that's interesting. Your dad voted for your opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't think I'd be responsible enough to be mayor. So all in all, he was probably correct.
I was going to say, okay. That's amazing. So what, I don't even know. What do you do as mayor of Dawson?
Well,
is a lot of work.
You know, surprisingly, it is. There's a ton of paperwork. You're coordinating a lot of things, and at the same time, while you're trying to hold everything together, you got all the people in town calling, complaining about certain stuff. Right. You know, I had one guy calling me. He's like, "Hey, my neighbor." That's how they always talk about it. My neighbor. It's like he throws dog crap in my yard every day. And I was like, what? So I called the other guy. I was like, is that true? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, why are you doing that? He's like, well, his dog walks into my yard, craps, I scoop it and throw it back. I was like, all right, I'll let it slide. Vote for me in the reelection.
That makes sense. Okay, you mentioned you talk about it in your book, and I see some stuff back there. Is it one of those books back there or these other ones?
Yeah, so right here, it's called You Can't Write City Hall. And so it's a... sort of the comedy retelling of my time as mayor. It gets a lot of comparisons to like Schitt's Creek or Parks and Recreation, stuff like that. Actually hit the Amazon bestseller list for political humor. And a lot of people will ask me, I say, well, when you hit the bestseller like that, a lot of times Hollywood comes and they try to buy the rights for a movie or a sitcom. What would you do? And I'll tell you, Anthony, if somebody calls to buy the rights to my book, you will never see me again.
Would you play yourself in the movie?
Oh, no way.
Can I play in the movie?
Yeah, sure.
Well, right. Yeah. I think you're a little bit taller than me, though. I'm 6'3". I think you're like 6'6", right?
You're right. Yeah.
All right. I have to put some lifts in, but it's close enough. I don't know if I.
And you got I was gonna say you got a nice thick head of hair. You probably have to get rid of that too.
I'm nervous. I'll be honest. I'm nervous to cut my hair because I'm scared that it won't grow back, and so that's why I just let it. That's why I just let it grow. So you were doing comedy, obviously, before politics. Hence the put a real joker into the office. How do you get into? Did you grow up in Dawson, and like, how do you get into comedy from there?
Right. So, wherever you are, the first step. There's going to be an open mic night. Sometimes it's the local comedy club has open mics, or there's a bar that has open mic, and there's, you know, musicians and poets. And if you try comedy, try comedy too. So that's sort of your first step in breaking in. So whether you're in the big city or some small town nearby, somewhere is an open mic. And then as I tell folks, if I ever host an open mic, you will see a lot of people who are on the way to the top, and you will enjoy everything about them. And you'll see a lot of people that you can't believe even think they are funny. But nonetheless, yeah. So, kind of how it worked out for me is, you know, I did the open mic scene in the local comedy club. I started to do well there. So then they started hiring me to host. And then other people started seeing me and hiring me for their shows, and it just sort of snowballs. And probably what's most interesting is my parents actually own the trailer park in our town, which was passed down from my grandfather. In most small towns, the dad takes over the family business, and then the son takes over for him, et cetera, et cetera. And so my dad really wanted me to take over the trailer park business. But of course, the comedy bug had bit me, and I was a little upset, but I told him, Dad, I think I can make just as much money doing comedy as running the trailer park. Tens of dollars.
Well, and hence you went back to Dawson. See, there's that funny that doesn't work. I think I'm funny. My wife will tell you I am not. But keep in mind, I have known her since we were 4 years old. So she's heard every single joke about a million times. They're probably not funny anymore. So that being said, I know the obvious, it makes people laugh. Let's take that one out for a minute. What makes a good joke? Like when you're sitting there, do you just write out, hey, this is my experience. I think it's funny. I'm going to deliver it this way. Or is there a construct to making, you know, putting a joke together?
Well, there actually is. I believe in total, if I'm remembering right, I believe there are officially 11 forms of joke construct. So the most common is what they call sort of the swerve. I'm going to give you an example. So there's a swerve where you think they're going to say X and they say Y. And then also there's the rule of threes where it's a da 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 wah, right? So there's sort of the switch on the third. So example I give is I tell this story about on Christmas Eve, my dad hit a deer, and my son freaks out because he thinks it's Rudolph, and I go into the whole thing. But at the end, I say, my dad, he has the worst luck on holidays. So Christmas, he hit a deer. Easter, he hit a bunny. Thanksgiving, he hit a pilgrim. And so the swerve is, you think Thanksgiving, I'm going to say turkey, right? But instead,
See, that's what I need to learn. Cause I've got, so I'm going to share that. Maybe after we do this, you can help me put this into a joke form. Cause I've got these great stories. Cause I grew up with great immigrant parents who barely spoke English. So there's a lot of stuff there.
Sure.
I'm the youngest of three boys, and my brothers are 6 and 10 years older. So I got picked on, and there's a bunch of stories there. And there's this one story that I always try to tell people, and it's really long. And I'm like, how can I make it shorter and funny? About my brothers both had their girlfriends at the house. It was like some Christmas, Thanksgiving. It was one of those things. And they want to play Pictionary. Remember that game Pictionary? You have to draw it. So my brothers have their teammates. It's their girlfriends. So I'm sitting there by myself, and I'm like, I want to play too. So my mom, being, you know, the good hearted, great woman, she says, I'll play with you. I'll be your partner. So no problem. So they look at the card. It's the three girls are drawing. They look at the card. My mom looks at them. She goes, are you sure you want me to draw this? And they're like, yeah, 100%. It's the game. She's like, okay, because it's the game, I'll do it. And they all start drawing. I immediately start screaming out, and I'm not going to do it here because we try to keep this show PG, but I start screaming out profanities, male genitalia, profanities. And everybody, of course, stops dead in their tracks and says, what are you doing? And my mom shows what she's been drawing, and that's what she's been drawing. and she goes, you guys told me to draw this. And they're like, what do you mean? She goes, what? D-I-G, dick. They're like, no, dig. So I've tried to figure out ways to, maybe I just did, I don't know. So I need to figure that out. So that's why I asked the construct. So I know there's more there.
I would say you have to say it in her voice.
So, oh, you know, that's going to kill
me. It's D-I-G. You know, you pronounce it as, you know,
that's the only accent I can't do is Greek. I'll make her Italian. All right. I'll change it up. So what else is it? So those are the swerve one makes sense. Cause, and you got me on that one with the pilgrim, and then the dit. What else kind of goes into a good joke?
There's another, I'm trying to give you the most common. So there's one they call compare and contrast, which is sort of, you're using sort of similes, metaphors. If you know Bill Burr, basically every one of his jokes is that style.
I was love thinking, Bill Burr.
Yes. Yeah. As we, let's see, I could say, like, so Mike Glennon, former Bears quarterback. I haven't seen a neck that long since my Miller Lite bottle. You know what I mean? Boom. So,
did you happen to see that photo yesterday?
No.
A photo came out of Mike Glennon, and his neck was all the teams that he's played for. So once you said that, I immediately thought of that. So yeah, we're going to get to the Bears in a minute here, because as you see, I'm repping the Bears. Sure. They can't see your shirt, but we know you're repping the Bears too. And we'll get to why that's been so painful. Okay, so there's the simile, metaphor type one. Okay,
and then there's a really common one too, is the double entendre. One word or phrase means two things and it's happening at the same time. So like, for example, you could have a large breasted woman playing pool and she's setting up the balls, got the little triangle things in the balls, and somebody goes, hey, nice rack. Well, she's racking the balls, and you know, it's a term for breast, but is there.
Yes. I always ruin it, because after I say that, a nice rack, I go, see what I did there? See what I did there? Just I kill it. It's done. Like I said, I'm listening to your stuff, it's kind of like stories inside. And is that more kind of, are you kind of telling those stories of your life? Because you've had an interesting life. There's a lot of stories to tell.
I'm primarily a storyteller, but what you have to remember with stories is you're still using those joke formulas within. So I always try every two sentences, something funny has to be said or happen. And if I got to go three sentences, something mildly funny has to happen at least somewhere in there. So that's sort of the formula. So a lot of people, when you'll say, I can't really do radio because it's supposed to be quick jokes and I'm a storyteller. Well, if you know what you're doing as a storyteller, you can weave in quick stuff. So like earlier, I didn't tell the whole big long Rudolph story, but I did at least tell you the one punchline within that story.
Yep. Okay. And I'm going to paraphrase, cause if I try to say it exactly, but you were, when I was looking you up, you were listed as one of comedy's best storytellers, right? I know you don't want to self-brag a little bit, so it was someone else that dubbed you this, but
yeah, it's sort of a common phrase thrown my way. And you know, the hardest part though is, like I said, constructing all that, because I have a great story, but if it takes 4 minutes to like build everything up and then I can finally pay it off, well, most of my audiences stop paying attention if I haven't said something funny in 4 minutes.
That I understand, because I, as you could tell, I talk way too much. And I give every detail of what's like, someone's asked me what happened on that phone call. And I will go back and tell you exactly what I said. They said back to me what I said, what they said, what I said. It's like 40 minutes later, there's the joke. And I'm asleep over here. Like, it's just taking too long. So that's one of my notes. I'm going to try to be funny every two sentences. That's going to be the hard part.
Well, that's funny, because see, most guys don't even pay attention to the details, you know. So we get, like, I had a guy a couple houses down, he just told me his landlord kicking him out, And my wife goes, well, why? And I was like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, but that's because that's not important to you. See, see, I would not, I get that too. What happened? My mom's in the hospital. What happened? I don't know. Well, what'd she say? I don't know. Well, what does she have? I don't know. What did the doctor say? I don't know. You should probably call and ask because I have no idea. But if it's a conversation that I'm in that I'm trying to make a joke out of, oh, I'll remember every like if you ask me who the third string guard is on the Bears, I'll tell you. But I won't remember any of the stories. So that makes complete sense. So I brought up the Bears again. So I will let's jump into the Bears.
All right. That's the only thing you can say at this point.
But, well, we beat Seattle last week, so that was nice. But when you look at, I'm gonna assume you grew up a Bears fan. Let's both assume we've had to suffer through that misery of being Bears fans our whole life. What do you see out of the Bears that I'm gonna ask you first? What gives you hope? But then I'm gonna ask you what stresses you out the most. But what gives you hope moving into 2022?
Let me tell you, the common answer is going to be, well, they got a first round quarterback, Justin Fields. We'll see where that goes. I'm not so high on Justin Fields to be. I think they busted out again. But here's where the hope is. The McCaskey family sells the team. That's the only hope we have. That's it.
They, you know, it's funny that when they were doing the whole fire Nagy thing halfway through the season, I said, you realize we've been around for like 100 plus years and we've never fired a coach midway through a season. They're not changing that tradition. I would say this, because I was asked this question, so I'm gonna pose it to you, because you're not completely sold on Fields. I like Fields. I'm nervous because there hasn't been an Ohio State quarterback to come out and be successful, so that makes me real nervous. But last summer there was talk prior to the draft of Russell Wilson and him saying Chicago's one of the cities he would come to. And now there's a lot of talk that this might be Russell Wilson's last season in Seattle. So here was the question that was posed to me, and I'm posing it to you. Seattle gives us a call, calls up, I guess, Ryan Pace. Hopefully we can move on from him too. But anyways, we'll talk about that in a second. Call up Ryan Pace. Hey, I'm going to give you Russell Wilson for Justin Fields and two first rounders. You doing it?
I got to give up two first rounders also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Because here's the reason. Russell Wilson has largely been successful because he can run. Well, he's getting old. He can't run as much anymore. So we got to rely on the arm. So I'm not saying he's going to be a bad quarterback. He'll still be certainly a good quarterback, but not as good as he has been over the past few years. So why would I give up my potentially, finally, franchise quarterback? We don't know. Plus two more first round draft picks that Ryan Pace gives away like it's candy.
and that's why I think they threw in the two first rounders, because it made me think, well, I know who Russell Wilson is. I don't know who Justin Fields is. And when was the last time the Bears used a first round pick properly?
Roquan Smith would be the last one. And that's it. So out of 10.
Yeah. So the hit and miss. So the ratio is pretty bad. I think we have maybe. So I said to make it one. I'll give you a first and a third, and I might do it. But would you? Are you at that point where you would do that, or are you saying let's see what the kid can do?
If they called and said straight up Wilson for Fields, I would do that. But because you got to remember, the asking price last year was two first round picks. So why would I give up two first round picks and a rookie quarterback?
All right. Fair enough.
So like I said, he's getting old. He's moving slower than Joe Biden right now.
Should we talk about Joe Biden? talk about another pick that was bad. No, I didn't say that. How do you feel about Matt Nagy? Is he done? Or do you think, cause here's the thing. They beat Seattle. Most likely they beat the Giants this week. So they finish at least 2-2 and 3, maybe 3-3. Who knows what happens in the final week? Because I think they're playing Minnesota. That's not a great team that they couldn't beat. So they finish the season 3-0. Justin Fields starts to look good. Does that buy him any kind of good graces? Not with you, with the team. Because for me, he's gone. He should have been gone.
Yeah.
You know, when he got hired.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. So I'm not necessarily a Matt Nagy defender. Okay. But
I feel a butt. Yeah, I felt a butt coming on.
Here's what you need to realize. Matt Nagy's not fumbling the football or throwing interceptions, or he's not the guy missing field goals like previously, and he's not the guy who can't catch a punt. All right. None of that's Matt Nagy. He's not the guy whiffing on a block so the quarterback gets drilled. Who's responsible for putting all those people on the field? That's what I would say. Ryan Pace.
Well, that was gonna be my next question.
I think he's absolutely got to go. But the rumors are that the McCaskey family loves Ryan Pace so much that he has a job for life. They're going to make him president of football operations at some point. Yeah. Now, as far as Nagy, in addition to that, here's what I would say why you have to respect. Well, two reasons. One, everyone says he's such a great guy. We love him, da-da-da. But the team is terrible. So I do understand when the team is this bad, the coach has to take the fall. He usually does. Also, remember, though, when a team is this bad, generally the locker room has just blown up and doesn't care about anything and they stop trying. He has impressively held the locker room together. So for that, you have to recognize he does have some sort of leadership potential and quality. He'll end up an offensive coordinator somewhere next year. And then, he'll end up with another head coaching job at some point. But
So your bet is Ryan Pace kind of says Ryan Pace stays. He lets Nagy go to kind of appease the fan base.
Yeah.
Brings in somebody else who probably doesn't do any better. Because there's pieces are going to be gone, right? There's going to be pieces of that defense. Allen Robinson, I'm pretty sure, is gone after this season. So it's going to be a different team next year. And I know you said he's not the one dropping passes. He's not the one in terms of Matt Nagy, but he is the one that puts the play sheet together. He's the one that creates that offense that didn't work for Justin Fields, right? He built an Andy Dalton offense, and Justin Fields can't play in that kind of offense. So I do give him maybe more responsibility than you do. I agree with you, Ryan Pace. The rumor I heard, I don't know if you've heard this one, so I'm going to throw this one at you. Do you remember Sean Payton playing for the Bears?
He was like a third string quarterback or something at some point, maybe, or like the practice.
See, that'll remember. Yeah. The grocery list, I'll forget. So the rumor is they go after Sean Payton, like just full bore, like with a GM and coaching responsibilities. That would assume, though, that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are gone, which sounds like that might not be the case. Would you be in favor of that?
In principle, yes. The problem is you're going to have to pay off his old contract because he's still under contract with the Saints, and you would think the Saints aren't going to just fire him.
Well, they're just going to throw him some first-round picks, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like Oprah and Carter. You get a first-round pick. You get a first-round pick. In principle, yeah. He's from the Chicago area. He's got ties here. He's clearly a great coach. I'd certainly be welcome to him, but if we got to throw more first round picks, I mean, eventually you got to get more than like a guy who bartended last week as your punter. You know what I mean? So
I'm open. I'm available. I'm stretched out and I'm ready. So you brought up something that we weren't going to talk about this, but just because you brought up, you get a car. Cause obviously everyone does. Do you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, cause obviously Oprah, this was in Chicago when she did it. Do you know how that came about? And do you know what happened? I believe they were giving out Pontiacs, if I'm correct, was the vehicle that they were giving out. And they shortly after they gave all those cars away, which she did not pay for, they were out of business. How come no one talks about that?
I didn't know that. No, I have heard a big problem a lot of times. See, especially like California, where the tax rate is much higher. Which is where they film most of the game shows. Like if you win a car, you are responsible for paying the taxes on that car. So they actually say it actually ends up bankrupting a lot of people because you win like a Hummer. Then you owe 50K in taxes and those people can't just write a check for 50K. So then suddenly what was fun, you're like, oh crap, I'm out of money now.
That is the one thing is now, don't get me wrong. What I'm about to say, you're still going to be happy with this, but it's the one thing that blows my mind. And here's the difference. So for those that don't know, I'm in Toronto, which is in Canada. But about 70% of the people who listen to the show, and thank you for listening, are in the US. So I try to kind of bring the two countries together and show them some of the differences, however. So if I win $100 million in Powerball in the US, which is not uncommon, to get a one-time, right, the one-time settlement approximately, I know it's not exactly this, but it's approximately half. So they say you can either get it in increments or you get half. So you get 50 million. And you go, of course, I'll take the 50 million. Well, the second you get that money, it's taxable. And it's about 50%. Ballpark, right? Yes. So I went from winning 100 to settling for 50, and then after taxes to having 25. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll take $25 million any day of the week. However, people assume you won $100 million and they expect you to have certain things and certain money, because especially with the family that's going to come out and ask you for a loan, but you only have 25 of that. So 75 has just poof and disappeared. And then they wonder why, you know, in 3 years, most of these, you know, lottery winners are bankrupt. It's because they lived like they won 100, but they only won 25, and they go and they buy a $25 million house, and the first property tax hits, and they're like, oops, yes. I'm broke, which is a bigger scale of what you're saying. Here's the interesting thing. The lotteries aren't as big, like maybe 50 million is a really big one here in Canada, but you get all of it. Really? And you don't pay tax on it. Now, once you put it in the bank and start making interest and using it for investments, and once it generates revenue, you pay tax. But until that time, that first 50 million, hey, that's yours.
No way. Wow. I had no idea.
So we might have to petition. I wish I knew a mayor somewhere who could like write a bill and maybe change some lottery things. All right. So I would ask you one other question, because I don't do a lot of baseball. I don't do a lot of baseball, but I know that you are a suffering Cubs fan, although there's been some success kind of in recent years. And the question I had for you when I saw that you're a Cubs fan was this. Why was it okay to be kind of the lovable losers? There's very few teams in the history of sports that are okay with, yeah, we love them so much because we lose. What's up with that?
I will tell you, the general fan base never liked hearing that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The quote, lovable losers, is sort of constructed. I don't know if it was part of the Cubs marketing team, or it's just sort of the media in general started calling them that. In the past, the reason the team was never that good was, whether they were good or not, the stadium sold out. So that, I mean, the people just came. And I think so that's where the moniker came from. As they're like, the people come anyway. They love these losers. They're the lovable losers. So that's my guess of where it came from. But eventually, as they started to get good, Theo Epstein shows up. Now, all of a sudden, they expect a winner. And if you look, the stadium in recent time is barely half full. So they know they got to win soon. I get my Cubs wall calendar every year. And for every month is a picture of a player on there. So in years past, I got Rizzo, and I got Chris Bryant, and I got Javi Baez, you know, all the stars of the team are on there. And I got one for Christmas this year. I knew three players on that calendar. I was like, oh, there's Kyle Hendricks, and there's Wilson Contreras, and there's the worst contract in Cubs history. There's Jason Hayward right there. And who's that? Willie Brown. No idea who that guy is.
is this going to be a down year?
You know what's funny? They've been so bad. I got a call. I was like number 300,000 on the wait list for season tickets. They called me. My number's up. So all these people are declining.
Wow.
So the young lady trying to sell this is like, you're in. And I was like, well, I'm not paying to go watch that team. She's like, well, you got to remember, you know, they're going to spend big money on high price free agents. They're, you know, they're going to bring back some stars. And I was like, no, they're not. But we just know. So I told her no. And then she emails me like once a week. Maybe she thinks I'm handsome. I don't know.
We should go. You should be a seat. Let's go to a game. I think I would be really good as that person on the phone. Because I would give you a list of, here's the free agents that haven't signed yet that we're looking at. Have you heard of? I don't know who you're. I'm trying to think of who's have you heard of Bryce Harper? We're making a play.
Yeah.
No, you're not. It's interesting that you said that it always sells out, because here in Toronto, there's another team that never wins. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know how much you know about hockey, but Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967. Oh, and yet they sell up. You have to get inherit season tickets because they will sell up, because they sell the most important thing in sports. It's bigger than championships. It's bigger than big name free agents. It's hope. And they do a great job of selling it every year. So with that, I'm going to ask, I see all the, you know, so we know you can't, I don't know where I'm pointing. You can't write City Hall, but I also see some Facebook and Instagram stuff. Where can people find you? By the way, if you don't know, because I of course went out and checked you out and watched some of your stand-up, and I haven't said this yet. Super funny, by the way. I love your stuff. It was hilarious. So I was glad I could get you on. Where can people find you and kind of follow you?
So here's what I tell folks. I'm going to kind of duck out of the way here. So Facebook's Front Porch Comedy, as is Instagram. Twitter, Jeremy Nunes, my name. And then TikTok, Comedian Jeremy Nunes. And the reason is I was Jeremy Nunes. And if you can't tell by my voice or a bit of coughing, I just got over COVID. I was in the hospital, actually. It's really bad.
Oh.
And we can talk about that if you want to. But
keep finish where we can find you. And then let's talk about COVID, because I do want to talk about that for a sec.
So I got... I had my TikTok and it was really rolling. I was on TikTok for 6 weeks and built 10,000 followers in 6 weeks. Okay.
Nice.
Then I wake up in my hospital room, look at my phone, and it's I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. So I hadn't posted anything in 3 weeks. And it says, due to your recent video, your account has been terminated. And I was like, what did I even, I'm almost dead. I didn't even do anything. So I tried to appeal and they said no. So then I had to restart as Comedian Jeremy Nunes. But if anybody from TikTok is watching, I'm a totally different person in the account that was disabled.
This is interesting because TikTok seems to have a very, very interesting, let's talk about TikTok and then COVID. Because TikTok, I hope I don't get banned from TikTok, but they have a very interesting way, because I'm on TikTok too. And I think it's hilarious personally, but they have a very interesting way of deciding what is offensive and not offensive. So I found that if you like stitch or duet kind of the like popular things, it gets, you know, you get seen a little bit more. So there was this one thing where I believe it was a Dodgers game and a fight broke out and it was posted on TikTok. So I duetted it and I said, yep, everybody wanted to get over COVID and get back to the stadium so they could get back to fighting. I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. I got banned for inciting violence or showing violence. And I was like, but that video's still up, which is a full screen showing the fight. But my video of saying, I guess people wanted to get out of their houses because of COVID so they could get back to the stadium and fight. That was offensive, but the full video is not. I don't understand. Now there's some scantily clad girls on TikTok. They're fine. But if you do edit and say, forget about that, let me tell you about the baseball game last night. I got banned for showing for stitching the first 3 seconds of that video. So I shouldn't say banned. I'm sorry. It got that particular video got pulled down. So TikTok, if you're listening, come on. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. So let's go COVID. So I've been fortunate. I have not had any bouts of COVID. However, it's interesting because in Toronto, we've been very strict and the premier of Ontario has just come out and kind of said, hey, you know what? You guys want to just be? Okay, see you later. Good luck. They're pulling down some of the restrictions. They're getting rid of, you know, the testing centers because they're like, we need those people back in the hospitals because we're understaffed because everybody has COVID. So I'm interested to see, because we just hit, I think our GTA, it's around the same size as Chicago. We're about 7.5 million people in our greater Toronto area. And they just kind of said, okay, let's just see what happens. And we hit, I think, 16,000 cases today. But the people I know who have COVID have all been pretty sick, but have gone through it. So tell me about your COVID experience. I'm glad that I hope you're feeling better. And you're through it, but how bad was it?
Well, it ended up getting pretty bad. just about dead. I was in the ER twice. The first time they sent me away, thought I was just being wimpy. And then, they revived me in the ER 2 days later. And so, I'm laying there and, I'll tell you the story. I don't recall what happened. I just don't remember. I think it was, you know, that close to death that I remember sitting there telling the doctors what's going on. And then next thing I know, I wake up in a dark room, like they're letting me sleep or something, and I can't breathe. And I hit the panic button, and this nurse runs in and she's like, breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, in through your nose, out through your mouth. And I'm like, I know I didn't forget how to breathe. I just can't breathe. I can't. The thing that's worked since I was 10 seconds old is not working at this point. But so they end up telling me that they want to put the ventilator, put the tube in and put a ventilator in. And they're like, if we do this, you got about a 30% chance to live. And I was like, man, well, what happens if we don't? And they're like, it's probably about 5%. And I was like, hook it up.
Wow.
So yeah, they hook it up and, you know, they put me to sleep to put it in. And then I woke up 3 days later and, they, of course, eventually time comes, they take this thing out. And so this nurse comes in and she says, I'm going to take it, or they're going to clean it out. I mean, and she says, when I clean this out, just be aware, if you're choking, I need to know. I said, okay. Cause I can't talk. Right.
Right.
So I give her a thumbs up. She starts, I immediately start choking. So I'm like, right. She's like, what's wrong? Are you thirsty? I was like, how long have you been a nurse?
Yes, this is the sign for thirsty. And yeah. And this would be the sign for your choking, I guess. Is
right. I was like, not this. I'm choking.
So, unbelievable.
And then they've got like a little, sort of like a dentist tool, like the vacuum thing that cleans out the stuff in your mouth. Yep. Well, they got that too. So she's like, I'm going to just gently do a little suction in your mouth. Was, okay. She just takes that thing like this. Just, I was like, she's like, well, are you trying to do push-ups? Do you want to do push-ups? And I was like, what the? So, so, and of course, I don't know if you know, but they have to, they even have to like, I have to bathe you. I mean, cause you're just stuck there. You can't even do anything. So, this one nurse comes in and she's like, you know, I'm going to wash you. And she's like, I'm going to start with your private area. I was like, okay. You know, it's really cold in here, right?
See, everyone always fantasizes. I remember an episode of Seinfeld, right? With George, you know, this fantasy sponge bath. It's never as good as you think it's going to be. Oh.
No, there's nothing fun about it.
No.
And they have like a little sort of an IV thing they stick in the side of your neck. And that's where all the fluids kind of all the fluids. It's been about a month now. I can't see it from there, but it's finally just now started to heal up. But right when they take that thing out, you got a big bruise sort of thing here, kind of purplish red mark there. So because the IV had that mark there, or that's whatever I told my wife it came from. So.
I thought you were gonna say she told you it came from somewhere else. I thought you were gonna say, because you said you were close to death, I thought you were, when you said I opened my eyes, it was all dark, I started kicking and screaming, they opened like the morgue door or something. They're like, oh, you're geez. Alive. Let me slide you out, sorry about that, you're a little premature. Oh man, that's hilarious and terrible all at the same time. So that's horrible that you had to go through that. Do you change anything now about kind of what you do, where you go because of it? Or you said, hey, I've been through it. I survived. I'm going to tough it out.
The one thing I'm sort of altering, you know, if you notice, still got a bit of a cough, but they say because of that tube, it jacked up my voice. So my voice is still, they said probably another couple months before my voice is truly back. And the cough will be a couple months, though I'm not contagious, but everybody thinks I am because I'm still coughing.
Because you're coughing. Yeah.
What I've changed, sort of changed my perception. I did, I've just kind of slowed down as it laid there. And it's like, man, my little kids, my boy is 7, my girl is 3. It's like, my little girl's not going to remember me at all if I die, you know? And my thing about my son, I was like, he'd probably just barely remember me. And what he'd remember is I was just busy and gone all the time.
Yeah.
So it made me think I just got to pull back and slow down. So I had a podcast that we just shut it down once a week. I was like, wasn't generating a whole lot of income for me. It took like a full night to do because we watched a show and then recap the show. So, you know, just so I let go of that. I was doing where I think I got the COVID. I did a little small town bar show. I do a handful of those a year and I was like, just not doing them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't pay well. And it usually ends with, in this scenario, me just shredding a heckler who says he's going to, stab my tires and, you know, so.
You're not funny. What you doing here?
That's what it was. It's a guy who's talking the whole time. I was like, you don't even know.
Yeah, you haven't heard one of my jokes yet. How do you know if I'm funny or not? Yeah.
Right. But eventually everything as a comedian, I can't rehash the whole thing because you're a PG show. And I'm actually a PG comedian. But the guy made me mad enough that I
said, you know what? We can go. I will mark this one as explicit. Go nuts.
I don't want people, because remember, I'm a clean comedian, hence my dry bar special and the Amazon Prime special. But so I don't really want to say what was
all right, fine. Listen, Bob Saget was pretty clean too until I heard him do stand up. Jeez. Dirtiest mouth I've ever heard.
Yeah. But I really went after the guy. And apparently, you know, small towns, everybody knows everybody. Everything I was making fun of him for, just assuming, was actually accurate. So it hit it even worse.
Oh, and my God. So he did marry his cousin and sleep with his dog. That guy, I hate guys like that. Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah. I made it. Oh, yeah, your wife left you and you took the kids. And, you know, oh, well, that was accurate. So he was mad. And he went out the door, gave me the double bird out the door. And you know what the funniest part was? So I'm out of state. And I say, I'm a little nervous. It's not going to be hard for him to figure out which car is mine. It's the only Illinois plates. Everybody else is, you know, Missouri. And guy in the front's like, no, he's not going to do that. I already talked to him. And I was like, well, how do you know? He's like, I'm the sheriff.
I've already talked to him. Oh, my God. And that was the last time he went to Springfield, Missouri.
That's right.
Was that close?
Not bad.
It's the only small town I know. It's a Jasper and Springfield are the only two small Missouri towns I know.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And Springfield, FYI. And just, I don't know why I know this. Don't play Trivial Pursuit with me because I'm filled with useless information like that. Highest crime rate in the state of Missouri. One of the highest in the country, actually, Springfield.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Which is interesting because you had mentioned Springfield being the capital of Illinois. I feel like every state in the U.S. has a Springfield. There might be two exceptions, which there's no other names, you know, call it Field Spring, just flip it, make it interesting. But anyways, I want to say one thing, because you said about COVID, and I want to say my only thing, and this isn't necessarily about COVID, although COVID has affected this, and you reminded me of this story, which is why I'm going to share it, and then I promise I will let you go. I was out at a function for the holidays. And someone came over who was sick. You could see, like, there was a cough. There was kind of watery eyes. And I said, are you sick? Oh, yeah, I am. But don't worry. It's not COVID. And I immediately thought to myself, and then because I have no filter, I said it out loud, was, I'm confused. Pre-COVID. So if I go back 3 years, 4 years, and you're sick and contagious, do you go out to an event? No, I don't care if it was the flu, you had cold and bronchitis. If you're sick, you stay home. All of a sudden, what COVID did was make people think, well, if I don't have COVID, I can go out. No, I don't want, there's still a bunch of other things you can get that are still contagious that I don't want. So if you're sick, I don't know why I had to look where the camera was. If you're sick, stay home. I don't care if it's COVID or not. Have you seen any of this as well? Or am I just the lucky one that gets all the sick people going, it's not COVID, don't worry.
I had a guy, the guy bleeding on you. He's like, don't worry. I don't have COVID. Yeah. I have AIDS.
It's AIDS. So, yeah. Yeah. But it's not COVID. Oh, okay. Come on over. Jeez. So no, you haven't experienced this lovely, it's not COVID thing that I have.
I understand what you're talking about. Absolutely. But I generally just steer clear of people anyway. You know, even when I'm generally when I'm performing, you know, I'm kind of shaking hands and kissing babies and all that good stuff. But then ever since COVID, I just kind of tuck away into a corner somewhere. And, you know, when I'm on the stage, there's still a good amount of space between me and the people. I actually performed having COVID, not yet knowing I had COVID. I drove about 10 hours to do a fundraiser. There's this hotel ballroom. And I kept telling the people, I was like, I don't feel right. And my voice is kind of coming and going. You know, if you want me to come, I'll come, but, you know, and they said, well, do it. And then what we figured out is a hotel ballroom. So basically they just kept me in my hotel room the whole time, then called me when they were ready for me to start. So from the hotel straight to the stage, and then right back to my room. So I never actually interacted with anybody, luckily, because there's like 500 people there. And I would have just spread COVID throughout the entire Midwest.
Was there another performer after you?
No, it was just me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there wasn't like there was someone grabbing the mic that you just, you know, breathe and spit all over for like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, hey. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry about that. It was...
And I don't know if you noticed, there is a thing now where they're like, a lot of places are the Lysol, the microphone between the performers and stuff. And I feel like you're going to get electrocuted at some point. I mean, it is electrified.
Maybe it's the good one. It's the electrical ones. Yeah, it's just interesting that COVID has kind of taken over every conversation to the point where we've forgotten about everything else. So on that note, now I will thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing. And make sure to check out Jeremy Nunez on, I'm going to say it wrong, Front Porch Comedy. Did I get it right? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
On Facebook and Instagram, and then at Jeremy Nunez. I don't know if you need the spelling, but there it is. And then TikTok, go out and support. And this is, we're going to have, yeah, these clips are going to be on TikTok. So it's the comedian. Is it your full name then? Is it Comedian Jeremy or Canadian? Oh, Comedian. Oh, that's comedian a long Jeremy name. Is. That's a long name. That's a long name. I'm going to file an appeal for you.
Awesome.
I'm going to see if I can get it back.
And yeah, folks, if you're into the small town humor type stuff, yeah, you can't write City Hall. And then if you guys want to watch something at home, my Amazon special, Who's With Me? It is free if you're a Prime member, and I think maybe $2 or $3 if you're not. And then my Dry Bar special is absolutely 100% free. So check them awesome out.
I'm actually going to watch it right now. I'm not kidding.
Awesome.
Who's With Me on Prime? Yes. I'm a Prime member. I have no choice because I'm the one that loves COVID because when they said stay home, stay away from people, I'm like, perfect. That's how I want to live my life. So it's.
And by the way, so when you look up the Who's With Me special, you can look at the reviews. The guy I mentioned previously, I just remembered his name is Adam, I believe. If you go look at the reviews, the same night that happened, he goes straight to the Amazon special, leaves two separate one-star reviews. And you can look now. It says something like, worst comedian I've ever seen. I'd rather hear nails on a chalkboard. So, something to that effect. And then I was like, man, what the heck? Not everybody's going to like every comedian. So I understand. If you watch me, I'm not your cup of tea. Totally understand. But just to be like, this guy shredded me at a comedy club because I was heckling the whole time. I'm going to leave a one-star review. So that's what happened. But then, Anthony, if you could, please leave a five-star review on there, assuming you like it. And
I'm sure I'm going to like it from the other stuff that I saw. I'm going to tell you two things I'm going to do, and then I'll let you finish because I'm sorry that I cut you off. But I'm going to go there. One, I'm going to watch it, and I will give you what you deserve, which from what I've seen, I will give you five stars. But I will also go back, and I will find those one-star reviews, and I'm going to heckle him. I've made it my mission. I'm going to find Adam, wherever you are, Adam. I'm going to heckle you and see how you like it. Sorry, I cut you off there. What was the last?
And then for anyone who watches the Amazon, I believe I get $1 for every time somebody watches it. So Anthony, if you're watching on your computer, just please hit refresh.
Refresh over and over again. All right. I know how I'm spending the rest of my day. It's just hitting refresh for you.
Sure.
All right, man. Again, really appreciate it. This has been Sports Fluent. He's Jeremy Nunez. You're on this side. I pointed this way, but he's on this side. Go check him out. And until next week, be fluent. Get the full Sports Fluent Anthony K and Friends experience. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent. What does it mean to be truly fluent? Support us today for exclusive content, direct one-on-one chats, answers to your questions, and best of all, every quarter, a lucky supporter will be chosen to appear on Sports Fluent and receive some great swag from Boardwalk Los Angeles. How can you support us? Go to anchor.fm/sports-fluent/support.